The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Thank you for being with us today on Grace in Focus. In light of 1 John 1:7, how can a Christian really know that fellowship with God has been achieved? We'll talk about it today right here. After the program, stay tuned. I'll give you more information about Grace in Focus and the Grace Evangelical Society. In the meantime, our web address is faithalone.org. And among other things, you can find our bookstore right there. Now, here is Bob Wilkin along with Steve Elkins with today's discussion.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Bob Wilkin. I'm here with
Steve Elkins.
All right. And you have a question for us, Steve?
Yes. This is from a good friend of ours, Bob, a guy named John. He says 1 John 1:9. Actually, I think he's referring to 1 John 1:7 when he says this.
Uh-huh.
But he says, it tells believers to, quote, walk in the light and to confess their sins. That's 1 John 1:9. And he will purify us from all unrighteousness. Now, I assume, he says, that means that the Spirit will bring to our minds those sins we've forgotten or aren't aware that we've committed. But is there any way of knowing that you are, in fact, in fellowship? My concern is that if I'm not in fellowship, that my prayers aren't being heard. I could spend hours confessing sins and probably not get them all. What do you think about that?
Yeah, this is a good question. Thank you, John, for the question. One of the big disputes, as you know, Steve, is what's the purpose of the letter called 1 John?
Right.
And there's basically two views. Mm-hmm. One is called the test of life view, and the other view is called the test of fellowship view.
Mm-hmm.
Where are those verses from? In other words, where do they go if they say that the purpose of the whole book is test of life as opposed to test of fellowship?
They tend to go to 1 John 5 for proving that it's test of life.
Exactly.
Because he does talk about the gospel there in 1 John 5, in particular around verses 10 through 13.
Right. And in verse 13, he uses the magic phrase, mm-hmm. which is found four times in the book.
Right.
These things I've written to you. Yeah. And that also occurs in 1, 3, and 4. Yeah. And it also occurs in 2, 1. And it also occurs in 2, 26.
And so they assume that that's the purpose statement for the book. And it's, you know, like it's at the end of John's gospel. So this must be the purpose statement. And the full verse says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. So that's the purpose of the book, they say.
That's what they say. The problem they have is they don't do the same thing with 2:26. They don't do the same thing with 2:1. And they don't do the same thing with 1, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things they fail to recognize, by the way, is in 2:1, 2:26, and 5:13, it's I, first person singular. These things I have written, or I am writing to you. But in 1, 3, and 4, it's these things we write to you.
Mm.
It's plural, first person plural. Only one where it's plural.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is true that in the end of the Gospel of John, we get the purpose statement. But in epistles, often the purpose is found at the beginning, and it is found in 1, 3, and 4. Could you read 1, 3, and 4?
Right, and that's where you'd expect a purpose statement normally to be. In 1 John 1:3, it says, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you, that your joy may be full.
Right. So John wants them to share the fellowship which he and the other apostles share with God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In order to share that, he gives them principles of fellowship throughout the book. Okay, so what are some of these principles that we find in 1 John that tells us we're in fellowship with God?
One of them right off the bat is in 1 John 1:7.
Right.
Or even 1:6. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. 1:7, he says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. One thing I liked, and I know you want to comment on this, that Zane used to say is walking in the light for a believer in this context here is essentially just being transparent and open and honest with the Lord as he's revealing shortcomings and sins in our life.
That's right. This reminds me, by the way, of the prodigal son in Luke 15. Remember, the prodigal son was with the father and his brother before he departed for the far country. Then he was away from the father and he was out of fellowship with his father.
Mm-hmm.
And he came to his senses, we're told, the Lord tells us. And then he came back, and his father ran to him and fell on him and hugged him and kissed him and gave him a ring and robes and sandals and slayed the fatted calf for him, threw a party and everything else. So he was wonderfully back in fellowship. Well, when he was in the darkness, he was not in fellowship with his father.
But he was a son still.
But he was still a son.
Right.
But when he came back, he was back in fellowship with his father. In fact, the father says in the parable of the prodigal son, my son who was dead is alive again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know there's no rebirth twice. You're either born again or you're not. And once you're born again, you're always born again. But this isn't talking about everlasting life. This is talking about fellowship with the father. And he's saying, he was in fellowship with me. He died to me in terms of fellowship. Now he's alive to me again in terms of fellowship.
Yeah, just like the lost coin or the lost sheep in the parables right before that. I love what J. Vernon McGee used to say on this, and he got it from Dr. Chafer, and that is, the prodigal is a son.
Yes.
J. Vernon McGee said, and even if he didn't return, let's suppose he died in the pig pen. He's never a pig.
Right.
He'll always be a son.
No, that's very good. And so I think you're right. 1 John 1:6 and 1 John 1:7 basically give you a real key parameter to are you in fellowship with God. So in terms of walking in the light and walking in the darkness, I think this is pretty simple in many ways. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ and you're attending a solid Bible teaching church and you long for the pure milk of God's word, you're delighting to hear God's word taught, and your mind is being renewed, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And your life is being transformed through the renewing power of the Word of God. Then you know you're in fellowship with God. Mm. On the other hand, if you're not in church, or maybe you're going to a church, but the church is a heretical church, it's not a Bible-teaching church, and it's having a very bad impact on your life, and so you're beginning to question other people's salvation, you're beginning to question your own salvation, because it's a legalistic church, you're falling out of fellowship with God because you're not walking in the light anymore.
That's right.
And so the key, it seems to me, the main one is walking in the light. Now, John gives lots of other things in the book. He says, by this we know him if we keep his commandments, chapter 2 and verse 3. Huh. And Hodges argues in his commentary, and I think he's right, that knowing him is more than being in fellowship. He's arguing that knowing him means I've got an intimate knowledge of God in my experience, so that we shouldn't equate obedience with fellowship. The problem with that is we all sin.
Right.
1 John 1:8, 1 John 1:10, and in between 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins. So if we deny that we're sinning, then we're not in fellowship.
That's right. You know, I like to reemphasize this point. When we're walking in the light and we're confessing all known sin, we would be very naive to think there's not a lot of unknown sin. And what a great promise the last part of verse 7 is. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, and here Hodges said the present tense in this context would have the idea of goes on cleansing us from all sin.
Right.
Even the sins we're not confessing or don't know about yet. But Bob, you said something. I want some more clarification. That we shouldn't tie obedience to assurance of fellowship. However, in 1 John 3:24, it says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him. Isn't that a way of saying we know we abide in him if we keep his commandments or not?
Yeah, I think there is truth in that. And so that's where what I just said is a little tricky. Maybe you've caught me, on your own petard or something. But I also think of, what verse were you just quoting?
That would be 1 John 3:24. And you had made a great point when you made your point that, how can we know that we're keeping all the commands, or at any given time, any believer walking in fellowship with the Lord, his obedience is flawed, no doubt.
Yeah, there's another verse, 10 verses before 3:24, that says, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. Well, that expression, passing from death to life, only occurs one other time in the New Testament, and it's in John 5:24. And it says that the one who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. And some people say, see, this is an assurance of eternal life first. No, I would say this is assurance that I have passed from death to life in my experience. And so there's a difference between being in fellowship with God and being a mature believer.
Right.
And there are a number of verses like abiding in him and passing from death into life and knowing him that are more for maturity. Let's say, for example, that the first day that you and I came to faith in Christ. Well, didn't we start the Christian life in fellowship with God?
Absolutely.
Doesn't everybody?
Sure.
So it doesn't mean that you have to have some level of obedience as a brand new believer to be in fellowship.
Right.
You start with a clean slate. I think Acts 10:43 says that we're starting with a clean slate and that we walk in fellowship with God. And if we stay that way, we can remain in fellowship by walking in the light and confessing our sins.
And Bob, I would assume that many new believers, they come from a pagan background a lot of times, or very irreligious background, and they come quickly to faith in Christ. So they've got a whole bunch of stuff going on in their life that we would consider sinful in the Christian community.
Right.
But they're not even aware of it.
Oh, yeah. I remember the story, Bill Counts, I heard him tell this story. He was pastoring a Bible church in North Dallas. He led this couple to faith in Christ. While he was preaching, he didn't know they were coming to faith. And they stayed in his church, and he had a large congregation. They'd been in the church about 9 months and heard him say something about sexual immorality.
Right.
Sex outside of marriage is sin.
Right.
They were shocked. They'd been living together long before they were born again and since they were born again, and they had no clue this was called sin in the Bible.
Exactly. Isn't that what discipleship is called?
Yeah. And guess what? They came to him and said, "What should we do?" And he said, "Well, you could get married." So he married him.
Right.
It seems to me that's the way it is in the Christian life. Is a person who's got lots of issues in their life in fellowship with God? Well, they can be.
Sure.
If they're walking in the light and they're confessing their sins, then they're in fellowship with God.
Absolutely.
We got to be careful that we're not perfectionistic or obsessive compulsive and wonder, well, have I confessed the right way? Have I been sorry enough? Am I obedient enough? What it's really about is my heart's desire is to please God. I'm in His Word. His Word is in me.
Amen.
Well, thank you all for joining us. Keep Grace in Focus.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Are you interested in finding other Free Grace believers just like yourself in your area? Well, you can do that by going to our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our website, we have a church tracker. It's an easy-to-use map that will help you locate those other Free Grace churches that might be in your area. So come visit us at the website and take advantage of our free church tracker. It's at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. There are a lot of costs involved in staying on the air. That's why we so much appreciate our financial partners. If you'd like to learn how to become one, you can find out more by going to faithalone.org. We would love to hear from you. Maybe you've got a question, comment, or some feedback. If you do, please don't hesitate to send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. On the next Grace in Focus, a discussion about rewards. How much should they motivate and what part should they play in the Christian life? Join us next time. This is the Grace Evangelical Society. Until next time, let's keep Grace in Focus.
The proceeding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.